welcome to the Compliance Perspectives Podcast. I'm Adam Chertletaub from the Society of Corporate Compliance and Ethics. Today, joining me from San Francisco is Eric Havian, who's a partner in the law firm of Constantine Cannon. Eric's a noted QTAM lawyer, has been a frequent speaker at SCCE programs in the past. Eric, thanks for taking time out of your day to join us.
It's a pleasure, Adam. Thank you.
So we're going to talk today about what really is going on inside of the world of whistleblower cases. And one of the things I wanted to start with is the SEC program on whistleblowing. There's been a lot of talk about what kind of impact it's had. Have you seen an increase in people coming to you because of it?
Yes, definitely. The SEC program has been very popular with whistleblowers. It has a number of user-friendly aspects to it that I think give whistleblowers a comfort level, both that their information will be taken seriously, it'll be investigated, and in some ways, the most important, their anonymity will be preserved, and they will not have to worry that their identity will be disclosed to their employer or that they will be retaliated against. The SEC has been especially vigilant about going after companies that retaliate against employees for blowing the whistle to the SEC. For all those reasons, I think it's had an amazing response in a relatively short period of time, and a very substantial portion of our calls now are from people who want to participate in the SEC whistleblower program.
Now, notably, in your talk about what's led them to come forward is the absence of the word money. We've talked about this, you and I, in the past. Contrary to popular belief, it's not always about the money. In fact, I think you said it usually isn't about the money. What does motivate people, in your experience, to come forward and, you know, file a whistleblower complaint?
Well, while the money is always a factor, it's rarely the primary factor. The primary factor is almost always frustration. And, the frustration can be driven by a number of different factors. Commonly, the frustration is an employee sees something that they know is wrong. They try to bring it to the attention up the normal chain of command to their supervisor and so forth, and they're told, no, you're imagining things, or why are you complaining, and you're not a team player. And the typical whistleblower will not just give up easily, and they will keep trying to raise these issues because they see them all the time, and it just grates on them. These are the types of people who just can't walk away when they see something that they know is wrong, and people who just can't follow directions when the directions are telling them to do something that's illegal. So these are people who usually end up at our door as a last resort. They have almost always exhausted whatever internal mechanisms there are, at least the ones that they trust. I mean, sometimes they know that, in some companies, picking up the hotline is a sure way to get terminated. So they don't always necessarily go that route. But usually they've exhausted all of the avenues that they feel are available to them without losing their job. So that's the primary thing that drives them to our doorstep, is that sense of frustration. They're tired of being told they're crazy, or they don't know what they're talking about, or they just don't have the big picture in mind, or they're not a team player. They're sick and tired of all those kinds of excuses to put them off. And usually they're just dying to tell their story to somebody who won't belittle what they're doing and what they're saying. I think is the primary motivation.
Now, did you find that they typically have gone to the compliance department first? Will you ask them if they reported it, encourage them?
Well, we always ask if they've gone to the compliance department and about any other steps they might have taken. And I would say that most of the time, they have not formally gone to the compliance department. And when you ask why, because we always are curious, usually you get the same answers, that they've seen other people who go to the compliance department and nothing happens. Or worse, they get retaliated against. So the employees and companies who have poor compliance programs, you know, they may look great on paper, but in reality, they don't protect the employees. Everybody knows in those companies which compliance programs can be trusted and which ones can't. So I think it's driven largely by that perception.
Interesting. So, you know, and notable to me is the fact that, you know, they judge it based on their perception that compliance either doesn't listen or it's really just not there on paper. So it's obviously good counsel for compliance people to make sure that, you know, you address those issues by making sure things do get followed up on. Why do you think people just have a hard time listening to someone who, you know, these people who raise the objections? Is it just the sheer stubbornness of humanity and not like being told we're wrong?
Well, I mean, I think that it's kind of a more extreme version of that same sentiment. Nobody likes being told you're wrong, okay? Especially when a subordinate is telling you and you're their supervisor. But in the kinds of things that we deal with, frequently it's a little bit worse than just you're wrong. It's you're doing something that's against the law, that's illegal. And, you know, unfortunately, many of us are kind of hardwired to resist any such suggestion. We all like to think we do nothing but the right thing all the time. And so when you have someone who's being told you're doing this and it's illegal, it violates the law, it's fraud, for many people, the immediate reaction is to get defensive and to blame the person who is bringing you the information for being just a crank and not understanding that big bottom line picture. You know, there are other reasons, of course, too. Sometimes these practices are engaged in, these fraudulent practices are engaged in because the company is under tremendous financial pressure. And, you know, the senior folks put the pressure squarely on the middle managers. It's either perform or we'll find somebody else who can. And when your job is on the line, sometimes people cross the line. So I think that, you know, those different factors unfortunately create a situation where people aren't willing to hear what they're being told simply because it's threatening to them. Either it's threatening because they don't want to admit they've done something illegal, or because if they go along and stop the practice, they won't make their numbers and they'll lose their job.
Interesting. And what would be your advice to compliance officers to try and get more people to feel comfortable coming forward to them? I mean, aside from, you know, the obvious of first giving them the number, you mentioned already, make sure that anything gets followed up on. Any other advice?
I think the most important thing is something that I believe just about every good compliance officer already knows, which is, it's critical not only that the compliance department handle complaints appropriately, but they provide that the company, the broader company, can provide assurance to employees that their coworkers are not going to find out and retaliate in some way. And it's beyond just sort of that the compliance office needs to be very cautious in how they handle the information, because if they're going to do any kind of investigation of the allegations, people are going to start to speculate about, okay, who's the one who has told about this practice. And there has to be a corporate culture that the compliance department can't do by itself, but a corporate culture that says anyone who retaliates against a whistleblower will be instantly dealt with, and dealt with harshly. That has to be the message. Not only that whistleblowers are welcome and encouraged to bring their information forward, but anyone who does anything to retaliate against them will not be viewed favorably. And that second part is very hard to police. It requires a company with a total commitment to compliance and a total commitment to handling reports of non-compliance seriously. And it has to be more important to a company than simply the bottom line. And it's tough for companies to put things ahead of the bottom line these days, but that's what you need to do.
Yeah. I think it's also just tough based on human nature. I mean, we all know everything from, you know, nobody wants to be accused of being the schoolyard tattletale. You can talk about your crazy aunt, whatever, but only in the family. I often joke that we're all in favor of people being honest and truthful and raising issues, as long as I don't work for you, in which case you're a traitor. It's just a sad challenge of human nature. Well, Eric, thank you so much for taking time out of your day to share these insights with us. And thank to all of you who took the time to listen in. I'm Adam Turtletaub for Compliance Perspectives saying thank you and have a very good day.
Thanks very much, Adam. Good talking to you.